group them and quickly go to another. John chapter 12, verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it beareth much fruit. He that loveth his life, loseth it. And he that hateth his life in this world, shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will the Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. There came therefore a voice out of heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. The multitude therefore that stood by and heard it said, that it had thundered. Others said, an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice had not come for my sake, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself. But this he said, signifying by what manner of death he should die. Just this, verse 34. The multitude therefore answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So they thought that he was going to abide forever. And they understood what he meant, evidently, by being lifted up. Because they said, how do you say he's going to be lifted up? Let's speak to God again in prayer, and then I want to read you the first portion connected with this in the Old Testament. And Father, we're so glad that your Son told us about himself in so many ways. We're thankful that we can think of him and sheep, because he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. We're thankful that we can think about him also among the sheep as being the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And we can think of him, Father, as wheat. He tells us one time that he is the wheat, the bread of God that came down from heaven, and men may eat of him and live forever. And we are glad that he tells us that he also is that kernel of wheat that falls into the ground and dies and bears much fruit. How many, how varied are the thoughts that Christ conveys to us from the natural world. We pray that we might understand them, our Father. We pray that they may be meaningful to us. And understanding this portion, we shall understand other portions. In thy light shall we see light. We thank you for the blessings that have been ours this day, but we need another this night. So feed thy lamb and feed thy sheep. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The portion that I wanted to read to you concerning the first thing he says, except the kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth by itself alone, but if it die, it beareth much fruit. I want us to see that expressed in Isaiah. The grain of wheat dying bringing forth much fruit. So turn to Isaiah 53. Two things in Isaiah 53. The other one, God willing, I'll let us turn back to it and see it a little later. But in Isaiah 53, notice, he's talking about the seed dying and bringing forth much fruit. Look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. Please notice that here, he shall see his seed, and then again, he shall see of the travail of his soul. Why, here is the seed, that the travail of his soul died, was raised from the dead, and it says, he shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. So this is what is so remarkable, that he shall see his seed. If Christ had died and not been raised from the dead, how could it be said, he shall see his seed? And then it says, he shall see of the travail of his soul. Some might have thought that the Lord Jesus had felt as if he were laboring in vain. But we are told here that he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Notice the different ways that it is expressed. It speaks about his seed, and that seed is expressed as the travail of his soul, and also it speaks about much fruit in John chapter 12. If the grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That much fruit is spoken of as the offspring of Christ, his seed, and it's descriptively spoken of as the travail of his soul. How all of these things are so remarkably woven together that God tells us that. And also, it says in Psalm 22, a seed shall serve him. So the Lord Jesus was forsaken. The Lord Jesus was forsaken of God and of his own disciples, and yet in spite of all of that and his death, it says, he shall see his seed, and it says, a seed shall serve him. Now, in this case, the fruit born by Christ in John chapter 12 consists of all of those that are like unto himself. Think of this for a moment. Do you remember when Christ, as the sower, sowed good seed in the hearts of men? And if that good seed was successful in capturing the hearts into which it fell, then it turns the man into that which was like unto the seed that was sown in his heart. This is what is so glorious. The seed of the Word of God sown in the heart of man makes man like the Word of God. And then the Lord Jesus speaks about the seed that falls into the earth and dies and brings forth much fruit, and it is evident that if a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies and bears much fruit, then all of the fruit that it bears is wheat. So here, it is a picture of the redeemed Christ. Here again, please notice, the Word of God sown in the heart of man transforms man, makes him a new creature, like unto itself. The seed sown in his heart, man becomes like unto the seed, the Word of God. And now, Christ is the seed, and he is sown, and he brings forth much fruit, and the fruit that is brought forth is like Christ. And this is the way Paul expresses it. It says that God is bringing many sons to glory, and God has determined that we shall be conformed to the image of his Son. What does it mean? It means that that grain of wheat that fell into the ground and died and brought forth much fruit, then that fruit in the coming day is going to be identical to the kernel of wheat that fell into the ground. Let us thank God for that. This is expressed in a twofold way. It's expressed in Philippians chapter 3 and also in 1 John chapter 3. It speaks about here we are on earth, and yet our citizenship is in heaven, whence also we wait for a Savior who shall change our vile bodies that they may be like unto his glorious body. What does that mean? It means that the grain of wheat fell into the earth and died, and then it brought forth life, and Christ was raised from the dead. And as his glorious body, so our glorious body in the future. But more than that, it is not just a body like unto Christ, but it is the nature, it is the character that is like unto Christ. It says this, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. So in 1 Corinthians 15 and Philippians chapter 3, we're going to have glorified bodies like Christ. And then in 1 John chapter 3, we're going to have moral natures, glorified natures, sinless natures like Christ. And that is something to look forward to. So here it says that Christ is going to see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. There are some things that we do in life, some undertakings, and we look upon the outcome and there is disappointment. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you will see that this king did everything in the power of man to do, to bring satisfaction to his heart. And he said it was all emptiness when he got through. Vanity of vanities, said the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And the Lord Jesus died for our sins and rose again. And then he looks upon the fruit that came out of his death and resurrection. And it says, he shall look upon the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. How glorious a thing that Christ was sent from heaven to do the will of God. He did the will of God, and he sees the outcome of doing the will of God, and Christ says one word, satisfied. Who could ever imagine that he would be satisfied with us? He's satisfied with any sinner at the first who will trust him as Savior. And then ultimately, he will be satisfied with that sinner that trusted in the Savior, because that sinner shall be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. So his coming from heaven to earth was not in vain, and even though he came unto his own and his own received him not, but those that did receive him, he is satisfied with them. And he looks upon them, and he says, Behold, I am the children whom thou hast given me. That's the way they are described in the Old Testament, quoted in Hebrews 2. And this is the way they are described in Isaiah 53. He shall see of the travail of his soul. The grain of wheat fell into the earth and died. And that death is explained as the travail of his soul. God hath made his soul an offering for sin. And out of that travail of his soul comes forth the much fruit. And God is glorified. Now, I cannot leave this point without telling you of what Christ said of us in John chapter 15. He says that he wants those that are in him. He is the vine, we are the branches. He says he wants us to bear fruit. And he says, Herein is my Father glorified, if you bear much fruit, my Father is glorified. In John 12, it says, Christ died, and he brought forth much fruit, and his Father is glorified. And in John 15, now, having done the same thing that Christ did in redeeming our souls, he wants us to do what he said, He that loseth his life shall save it. He wants us to sacrifice our lives for him, and when that happens, we bring forth much fruit, and the Father is glorified. So this is a great honor that is given to us, to glorify the Father in a similar way that Christ glorified his Father, by dying to self, doing the will of God, finishing the work he gave us to do, as it says concerning David in the Old Testament. It says, David, after he had served his own generation, according to the will of God, fell asleep. And so if you and I, according to the will of God, serve our generation, do his will, we shall bring forth much fruit, and it says, the Father shall be glorified. So this is the thought that I wanted to bring out about this grain of wheat that died and brought forth much fruit. Christ is spoken of as a grain of wheat. He's spoken of as the vine. He is spoken of as the branch. So many pictures of Christ. And in this instance, he is the seed that dies, and he brings forth much fruit, and you and I are that fruit, and Christ is satisfied. Thank God for that. Now, this next thought in John chapter 12, he says in verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself." There are many commentators on the Bible who read that verse and say, he is not speaking of his death. He is speaking of his resurrection, his exaltation. But look at the next verse. This, verse 33, he said, signifying by what manner of death he should die. So even though, and perhaps I'll tell you a little later, other examples where this word does mean his exaltation, but here it is a special lifting up, a way that would seemingly contradict what he's just said about himself as the seed. But here, he is not speaking of himself as the seed, but he has already referred to this concept in John chapter 3. Listen to it. You've heard it before. It said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life." So you say, well, in John chapter 3, he's speaking of his death and being lifted up. Why, of course he is. And in John chapter 12, in speaking of his death, he is speaking of it as being lifted up. You see, there is an exaltation that lifts him to the right hand of God, but there is also a lifting up that suspends him between heaven and earth. And that lifting up on the cross was the way that he was going to die. And this is what it says here. It says in verse 33, "This," he said, "signifying by what manner of death he should die." And if there were conceivably any doubt to it, I will read you this from chapter 18. "Pilate therefore said, take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. The Jews said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the word of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying by what manner of death he should die." And what manner of death is this? "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And this is what he's speaking about in John chapter 12, even though they could have no conception that this one is going to be lifted up on a cross to die. And so think, as the seed, he's spoken of as falling into the earth and dying. Here, he's spoken of as being lifted up on the cross and dying. But, in the first instance, when he's the seed that dies, he brings forth much fruit, and not any of that fruit is false or rejected. Now, a similar concept is found here, but it's a little different. Look at what it says. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Now, this is significant because I told you this morning that Gentiles, the Greeks, had come and had spoke to Philip, and then Philip consulted Andrew, and they both came and told the Lord Jesus about the Greeks wanting to see him. They did not know if Christ would admit Gentiles to a hearing, because I told you in Matthew chapter 15, he had rejected for a while that Syrophoenician woman, and he said, I was not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But later on, it was understood that there were more, because, and I'll show you this now, turn to John chapter 10, John 10, and look at verse 16. Look at verse 15 too. Even as the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock, one shepherd. Now, here, the sheep, the first ones to whom he comes, Israel. But he says, other sheep that are not of this fold. And so here you're going to have Greeks, Gentiles, and you're going to have Jews, and these two groups of people, it says, they shall become one flock and one shepherd. Now, look at chapter 11, chapter 11, verse 50. Here is priest saying, nor do you take account that it is expedient for you that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. Now this he said not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but that he might also gather together into one the children of God that are scattered abroad. Now, this is thrilling for the simple reason that we are the ones that were not the ones that were near. This is the way that Paul expressed it. It says, and he came and preached peace to you who were near and to you who were afar off. And we were not those described as the sheep. Here we are different ones. But now we are not two different groups of sheep, but we are one group of sheep. We are called one flock, and we have one shepherd. And not only that, but we have Jews and Gentiles, and it specifically says, whereas the priest said that one should die for the nation, that the nation perish not, but then it adds this, the death of Christ, verse 52, and that he should not only die for the nation, but that he might also gather together into one the children of God that are scattered abroad. So now we see the complete picture about the fruit, the much fruit that kernel of wheat that fell to the ground and died brought forth. It brought forth fruit consisting of Jews and Gentiles of every description. Now, back in John chapter 11 or chapter 12, when Christ says, and if I be lifted up unto earth, I will draw all men unto me. It means all men without distinction, and also it means that he is going to draw all men without exception. Why? Turn to chapter 1. Turn to chapter 1. And look at verse 8. Concerning John the Baptist, it says, he was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, even the light which lighteth every man coming into the world. It says in Titus 2, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation unto all men hath appeared. And so God's intent is to bring salvation to all men, to give every man an opportunity to be saved. And so at one time or more in a man's life, he is drawn, he is shined upon, he has truth revealed to him, and the way that he responds to this influence of God will determine whether or not he's trusting Christ as Savior.
If when the light shines, he receives the light, he becomes a son of light. If when the Lord Jesus draws him, he comes to the Lord Jesus. The Savior says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If when he responds to that drawing, then he comes and Christ gives him rest. So these are the various ways that God tells us that he's working in the hearts of men. So let's see three things. Listen now. In chapter 11, Christ says if he's drawn, if he's lifted up, he will draw all men unto me. This is Christ drawing. But for the sake of time, I will quote you John 6:44. When people are murmuring because of the preaching that Christ does, he says, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come unto me except the Father who sent me draw him." And so in John chapter 6, it is the Father who is drawing. But in John chapter 11, the Savior who has been lifted up, now he is drawing. And turn to John 16. I want you to see this to complete the picture. John 16. And look at verse 8. Speaking of the Comforter, he says, "And he, when he is come, will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." So here we have the Spirit of God, the one who is working upon the hearts of men, convicting them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And this is what causes men to take an interest in Christ. And when this conviction comes, if they accept that conviction, acknowledge that they are sinners, then they receive Christ as their Savior. Then this drawing of the Spirit has been successful. But the Lord Jesus tells us that whereas man would look upon his death on the cross as being a failure, he himself tells us that it's going to be successful. It enables him to draw every man. Why? For this reason. If God is going to give salvation to man, there must be some basis upon which the Father can forgive sinners their sins. And that basis is the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And so if God draws, if Christ draws every man, then it means that if that man responds, the basis of God accepting him, according to his response, is based on the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here is Christ, who is lifted up, and he says he will draw all men unto him. Now, I want to see the same word in chapter 8. Turn to John chapter 8. I told you, in chapter 3, the same word is used, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." He's lifted up on the cross, dying for sinners, and anyone that looks upon him on the cross and trusts him as the one who died for their sins, he receives everlasting life. But now this is the most interesting reference to being lifted up. Look at verse 25. They said unto him, therefore, "Who are you?" Jesus said unto them, "Even that which I have spoken unto you from the beginning." They are asking him, "Who are you?" They do not know who he is. Look at verse 27. They perceive not that he spake to them of the Father. And so they're in darkness. But look at verse 28. Jesus therefore said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak these things." There is confusion, and then there is illumination, and this is why I want you to look at Isaiah 53 once more. When are they going to learn? They're only going to learn after he has been lifted up. And this is what it says in verse 3, Isaiah 53, verse 3. "He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." You see, who are you? What are you talking about the Son of Man being lifted up. We esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he said, after you've lifted me up, you shall know. Look at verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And therefore, when the light shines upon a man's heart, whom God, or the Father, or the Son, or the Spirit draws and illumines, he understands all the mistakes that he's made. He understands who Christ is and his mission coming from heaven to earth, what that mission was. And that's when he trusts Christ as Savior. And so let's thank God that if he's the Lamb of God, he takes away the sin of the world. If he's the kernel of wheat and falls into the ground and dies, he brings forth much fruit. However Christ is presented, he is always successful for those who will respond to his drawing, the Father's drawing, the convicting of the Spirit. These are some thoughts about Christ in John chapter 12. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so thankful for all that thou hast told us about your Son. We are glad, our Father, that we know what it means to be drawn. To know what it means to respond to that drawing, and to have the Lord Jesus Christ to impart unto us eternal life. Our God, let us know that the world is filled with tares that Satan has sown. But we are so glad also that the world is filled with those who are the outcome of the travail of his soul. And we have trusted him as Savior. We have been cleansed by his precious blood. And we belong to him. We are fruit like unto Christ, and even now there is the promise, and also in the future it shall be fully realized when we shall look on him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him, and we shall look on him who was pierced, and we shall be like him in body and soul and spirit and all our being. So hasten the day that thy Son shall come, and we shall have the full realization of all the promises that he made. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.